is coming to you righteous, and having salvation is he humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim, and the war horse from Jerusalem. The battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations. His rule shall be from sea to sea, and from the river to the end of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore to you double. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is written in Philippians chapter 2. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 27th chapter. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said, "You have said so." And when he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?" But he gave him no answer, not even to a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release for the people any one prisoner whom they wanted, and they had been a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when they had gathered, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release for you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" But he knew that it was out of envy that they had delivered him up. Besides, while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, "Have nothing to do with that righteous man, for I have suffered much because of him today in a dream." Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor again said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They all said, "Let him be crucified." And he said, "Why, what evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Let him be crucified." So when Pilate saw that he was gaining nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves." And all the people answered, "His blood be on us and on our children." Then he released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole battalion before him, and they stripped him, and put a scarlet robe on him, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head, and put a reed in his right hand, and kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." They spit on him, and took the reed, and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the robe, and put his own clothes on him, and led him away to crucify him. As they went out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name, and compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they offered him wine to drink mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his garments among them by casting lots. They sat down and kept watch over him there. And over his head they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." So also the chief priests with the scribes and elders mocked him, saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now if he desires him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" The robbers who were crucified with him also reviled him in the same way. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, "This man is calling Elijah." And one of them at once ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink. But the others said, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him." And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice, and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Sermon for Palm Sunday. And Sunday Passion is based on both the Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 12th chapter, and the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 27th chapter. Who is Jesus to you? That could have or should have been the question posed to those back at Christ's triumphal entry into Jerusalem. There was sure to be some taking part in the jubilation of his entry who had no idea who he was, nor did they really care. Why? Because they saw people experiencing a high. So they decided to join in on that high. Hey, the fanfare of this guy coming into the city makes me happy. So I'll go along with this crowd as long as my health needs are met. As long as this guy can keep everyone happy and feeling good, well, he'll be a big hit. He'll have a following, all right. But who was Jesus to them? It mattered. In today's world, there's plenty of fanfare going on about Jesus, plenty of waving palms through the waving of hands in the air. But is it understood why Jesus came and continues to come? Oh, he's being experienced He's being doled out as the great happy maker through health, wealth, and prosperity. False preaching. He's the one who will get people through their day or week through services that aim to lift people up through dynamic speaking, through emotion, and through excitement. But those who hear and are led in such a way is the Jesus of the Holy Scriptures actually being proclaimed to them? Who Jesus is to them matters. And what of you? If you walked out of this sanctuary and immediately were asked, who is Jesus to you? Would you simply answer, he's a man who challenges me by giving me direction as to how I'm supposed to live my life? Or, he's a man who serves as my backup plan for when I can't quite do enough? Would you answer, I don't really know? Because I'm unsure of what goes on in the sanctuary. I'm unsure of what his word and sacraments give. So, I'm just going to go through the motions, hoping it will appease God to make things go my way. My friends, that's as bad as simply desiring to only get an emotional experience. Is that why he came? Be a happy maker? Is that how he desires to be believed? A social club with smiles and facades? Dear Christians, there is a much deeper rooted issue as to why Jesus rode on for you. A much deeper issue as to how he desires to be believed. God's word and sacraments matter as much as who Jesus is matters. They're inseparable. So how does God mercifully bring man to have a right confession of who Jesus is? He does it by the power of his truth being proclaimed as it is right now into your ears. There's a longer reading of God's word that can be proclaimed on this Palm Sunday and Sunday of the Passion. It adds the entire 26th chapter of Matthew to what was proclaimed already. And within that text, Jesus prepares to institute the sacrament of the altar while celebrating the Passover meal. Before instituting the sacrament, however, as it says, as it proclaims, as they were eating, Jesus said, assuredly I say to you, one of you will betray me. And the Holy Scripture continues, and they, that would be the apostles with him, were exceedingly sorrowful, and each of them began to say to him, is it I, Lord? You're about to embark on the holiest of weeks, according to the church year, as you, God willing, attend the various blessed services of God to you. Through this holy week, you will hear of the final days of the Lord's humiliation, the drawing of all men to God Almighty, and the glory of the Father's name through the death and resurrection of the Son. It is a display of the worst of mankind. All that this week. You are there in Judas' betrayal, in Peter's denial, in the hateful crowd that chose Barabbas and cried out, "Crucify," in the cowardice and expediency of Pilate, and in the cruelty of the Roman guards. But do not avert your gaze for shame, O Christians. Instead, by the grace of God, be repenting and rejoicing. For the Son of Man rode into Jerusalem not to lift you up through some sort of emotional high that will only last for moments, but Jesus rode into Jerusalem that he would be lifted up to draw you and all men to himself, and that it would last into eternity. He rode to earn your salvation, your adoption into grace. He rode that his merits would then be delivered through his word and sacraments. Sadly, there are many who attend gatherings only for the feeling of a high emotion or experience, avoiding the actual reason why Jesus came for them, and thus not truly knowing who Jesus is. You, however, you, O Christian, need not be afraid to ask the apostolic question from the upper room: "Is it I, Lord?" By the grace of God, do not be afraid, but confess God's truth about you. By the grace of God, he brings you to confess. I could be Judas, driven by greed and frustrated with the pace, desiring to take control. According to God's word of truth, you are brought to confess, "In my flesh, I am capable of these things, and worse. I have a history of selling myself cheaply, of caving in on a bold confession of faith. If I ever truly examined myself, I'd be brought to confess the deep rootedness of this. I've betrayed my country and my family. I've betrayed God. I've mastered the little white lie, along with what I consider the lesser evils. I've learned to look the other way instead of helping my neighbor. I'm no stranger to indulgence and nursing my addictions. Yes, I could be Judas. I could be Peter. I could be Pilate. I could ask for Barabbas and yell, 'Crucify.' I could be overcome by bloodlust, anger, and hatred. And I do. By the grace of God, make confession, lest your bones ache within you for the lie, lest faith grow cold and your heart turn to stone. Self-examination is proclaimed to you within God's word. So by the grace of God, ask yourself, confess, 'Is it I?' And then God brings you to confess why Jesus came and continues to come through his word and sacraments. Then God brings death of Jesus, in the harrowing of hell, in the destruction of the tempter, when the prophecy fulfilled. Rejoice in the will of God to make you his, in the obedience of the Son in your place, in the coming of the resurrection. His faithfulness is not derived from your obedience, yet it is not licensed to sin either. There should be a struggle between the two natures that are within a Christian. There should be an ongoing confession of a Christian that says, the things I desire to do, I do not do, and the things I do not desire to do, I do. God will always expect you to be perfect. And yet he also knows that you are always going to sin. You are not worthy of his love, but he loves you anyway. It was his will to suffer your betrayal and abuse so that you would be spared. His word of truth brings that new man in you to ask and confess, is it I, Lord? And his word of law, as it always is aimed at your flesh, your sinful flesh, will always answer, yes, it is you. The law says, do this, and it is never done. Yet, as the new man, the new nature whom God gives you, as he creates and sustains faith, as the new man points to the old man and asks, is it I, Lord? Knowing the answer to be yes, the new man of faith receives God's holy gospel, which has the Lord answer, no, it is not you, it is I took your place, you are innocent, you are righteous and well-pleasing to the Father, for by faith this is accounted to you. The burden of all of your past, present, and future guilt I carried as I rode on, to my glorious crucifixion, where I dealt with all of them for you. Your sins are gone. The thorns, the scourging, the nails drove them deeper into me. But my righteousness dripped out of me for you to receive. My God created repentant faith through my word and sacraments. Be at peace, for this is why I came, and it is how I desire to be believed. The crucifixion of Jesus is that through which you are given victory by faith alone. It is why he came. Ride on, indeed, O Lord. After exiting the sanctuary, they asked, who is Jesus to you? He is your Lord, who has brought you to a repentant faith, who brings you to confess and receive. For he came to take your sins away and give you his righteousness. That is why he came and continues to come through his word and sacraments. And that is how he desires you to believe. Through his death is your life, as he brings you to die and rise by faith alone. Through him alone. In the name of Son and of the Holy Spirit.